Then item 5, A1, local plan evidence update. Tom, over to you.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, so this is the normal update we provide the committee in regards to the various strands of evidence base we're pulling together to finally present iterations of the plan to committees and also to the public for the rounds of consultation. Really starting off with the biggest item on this evidence update, and that's the objectively assessed housing needs, which we've heard a little bit about in the questions and statements earlier on. Essentially, we've gone through an iterative process over a number of years with the housing number. Really, most of this got reset last year when the government actually changed quite a lot of the ways of we needed to assess and evaluate the objectively assessed housing needs as we became to know them. And whilst we had some figures presented to a committee in September, we understood then that there were some issues in relating to the unattributable population change, which the chairman described earlier on. So as officers, we've commissioned basically the best people in the country to try and come up with how to tackle some of those areas on those national data sets and what they particularly mean to tendering. And indeed, in so doing, we have established that there are a number of areas that we have been able to rerun models on in terms of the kind of assumptions that were taken in earlier iterations of evidence base. And the outcomes of that really are quite important for tendering because they effectively do reduce the housing OAN for the district over the plan period. But as Evan has raised in earlier questions and answers, is that we need to be sensitive to changes in the future because plan making has still got a couple of years to run. And we know those 2 years will have a number of changes, such as Acts going through the House of Lords at the moment, changes to the National Planning Policy Framework, and indeed new population sets from the ONS and other providers, such as communities and local government. So we need to be live and have a range of data. What we can only get to is the best estimate, the most reasonable elements, based on all the best examples of other plans that have been through this process, and also what's standing up to scrutiny appeals and in the High Court. And so members are presented today with what we believe is the most robust stage we can get to. We are, of course, at a stage where we need to make a decision on the housing number, because if we don't have a housing number, we can't have a plan. We can't do other elements of the plan. It doesn't make sense. We have to do the whole lot. We have to judge what the traffic impacts are relating to that housing. We have to look at the environmental capacity, what we're going to safeguard in terms of green wedges, etc. None of that can be done unless we agree a housing number and therefore move on to settlement locations, employment locations. And so it's very critical to move this forward. And it's not us alone. Clearly, we are working in collaboration with Colchester Borough, Chelmsford City and Braintree District on collaborative work, joint evidence base, sharing costs, sharing staff to make this as efficient a process as possible and making it relevant to the travel to work areas and the housing market areas that we're adjusting to. There are other evidence items on the agenda here. There's updates on affordable housing, retail, transport, employment, travellers, which is a new one, a new assessment we need to make on traveller provision, and further work we're doing on sustainability appraisal. The recommendations are on page 13. I do have Richard Pestel here from Peter Brett Associates, if we've got specific questions, but really leave it to the Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Excellent. Carl, are you indicated to speak?
Yes, Chairman. I would like to move the recommendation on page 13, and I'd like to reserve my right to speak later on.
Okay. I think Simon, Mr. Meacham, I summed it up really well, actually. It's a top. We have done a fantastic job of work, I think, as a committee in really analysing and getting into the nuts and bolts of this objective assessed need and drilling it down. I think there's a general sort of consensus amongst members of the committee that we wanted to get the number down as low as we could, but at the same time, we have got to have a credible plan that is actually going to be agreed by an inspector. So we can't just sort of wave a magic wand and come up with whatever number we might like. Personally, it has got to be a credible figure. It has got to be objectively assessed, and we've now got a very strong recommendation in front of us. And certainly...
which I would like to second, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
And,
thank you, Councillor.
And we have Councillor Mooney, the next speaker.
Right, OK. Thanks for that. Councillor Mooney.
Thank you. How long do I have?
As long as you wish.
How long do I have? This is
until
a 3 minute.
Until you get boring, Councillor.
No. There was in other meetings. There's a 3 minute timer.
No.
Okay.
No.
People will be aware.
One and a half.
That,
you carry on.
On this side, we've been pressing for some detailed relating to the calculations that have been used in these. I've written again only this week to the planning officer responsible for dealing with the local plan, and he has written back in response to the motion that was passed, the last one, that the officers would share the calculations, saying that all data that we have has been shared. We have an officer that has taken upon himself to flatly refuse to execute the action that was in the minute that was passed at the last local planning meeting. Now, that is, in any other
Councillor
world,
Mooney, can I just stop you? Can you, first of all, address, speak to the chair? Don't speak to the public.
Sorry.
And can you be very, very, very careful about what you're saying about officers? Because you absolutely cannot criticise officers at a public meeting. It's completely inappropriate. It's contrary to the Constitution. Seriously, you can't do it.
Okay.
Yeah, if you've got complaints, I'll happy to take them up with you.
Okay, no, please clarify for him, because the action was for the officer to do something, right, and the officer has not done it. So to whom should I address my complaint?
Well, you can't criticise individual officers at a public meeting.
Enough.
You simply can't do it.
All right. The situation remains that we have not been, we've not had any calculations shared with us. Now, the report that's come back from John Hollis that gave us a range in which he settled on a figure of 550 contains a number of questions. There are a number of other questions as well. We've asked questions about TFR, we've asked questions about the base period, we've asked questions, let me check, about the increase in residential care. We haven't had any answers to any of those. And these sit alongside questions that John Hollis himself asked. If you look at the report he wrote, section 3.5, page 29, contains a whole paragraph full of questions. And amongst the other questions he has in here, he said, would Edge have treated UPC differently had the recent ONS report been available? Are we really going to proceed with a figure of 550, which is based on advice from people who have not used all the information that is currently available? That is what the motion in front of us currently asks us to do.